Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warned you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. We're doing the Shelley Winters of Our Discontent for this series of shows. This week,
I'm enjoying this series.
Yes,
me too. I really love it. We watched What's the Matter with Helen?
Hey, Helen.
Last week, what's the matter? We watched Who Slew Auntie Rue. These are the question mark movies. I'm Freddie. Amy's here.
Hi,
Andy.
What's the matter, you?
What's the matter, you? Kelly. And Kelly will be reviewing.
Is that your Shelley Winters?
Yeah, well, that was my Helen.
Kelly will be reviewing a host later for Straight to Video Russian Roulette. You were just said that what you just did, Kelly, reminded me. Have you seen the video of the guy who programs Siri to call him? You know, he's like, call me blank. You know, you can
like,
program
ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, hold on. I'll find it while you guys please talk, because I think you need to hear it. It's really funny.
But I've always known who Shelley Winters was, and you know, I've seen her here and there, but it's been interesting. She's a really good actor.
Yeah, she is.
She's fantastic. She looks like my cousin Jenna in this movie, and it was distracting, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, she kind of does, doesn't she?
She looked like a very real person in this movie.
I think this is it.
Is this it?
I think so.
You would like me to call you.
This is riveting.
He just spelled out ha.
All right, ready?
Okay. It is.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Poor Siri, leave her alone.
I guess a lot of people are doing it now.
I tell people, like, sometimes the kids would think it was funny to, like, be mean to Siri.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, don't be mean to Siri. And I meant it. I was like, be nice to the robot.
Yeah,
it's because we were brought up on stuff like Westworld and stuff. Yeah. And we're like,
Terminator.
It's not going to turn out well if you're mean to these robots.
Yeah, be nice to your robot.
Plus, just be nice to your robot. Be nice to something helping you. It says something about your character.
Be true to your school.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that song, The Beach Boys?
I do.
What a strange song.
Do you feel like there was a bunch of cool kids at the time who there was a backlash like, fuck you, Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
don't you tell me to be true to my school.
Be true to your school like you would to your girl or guy. Be true to your school.
Let your colors fly.
Let your colors fly.
It's just indoctrinating our youth into accepting authorities.
Coming from the Beach Boys, that's pretty crazy. They hung out with the Mansons.
Power over you.
Do you think that it was like, I don't know who was in charge at the time that song came out, but do you think it was like the Department of Education, like the education?
No, I think Charlie Manson wrote it and the Beatles stole it. I mean, the Beach Boys stole it from him.
The Beatles stole it
The Beach Boys stole it from the Beatles.
They covered it.
Hey, Pastor Dance, could you imagine Charlie Manson writing that song?
Originally, it was Be True to Your Savior, which is him. And the Beatles took it and they were like, be true to the Maharishi. And then the Beach Boys were like, let's make it school.
I like the idea of Charles Manson in a Letterman's jacket.
Oh yeah,
still the crazy hair and everything. And you said he had one.
He probably stole one off like a kid. He probably mugged a kid.
Yeah,
at some point for their Letterman jacket.
I just want to say I don't regret my Corbin Cardinals tattoo at all.
No, it's good, man.
But you know what?
That'd be true.
It's
red and black forever.
I feel like everybody went to high school with these kids that took it really seriously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like their loyalty to the school.
Yeah, absolutely.
They probably came from a family, here I am generalizing, where dad and or mom, they peaked in high school.
Oh, they're like, make sure you enjoy these 4 years because they're going to be the best 4 years of your life. Because
they were the best of my life, and now I'm stuck with you and your mother.
I can't give a shit less about high school.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I didn't know anybody that was like that. I didn't know anyone that thought about school as anything but a place we had to go.
Yeah, it's funny because my best friends are still people I knew from high school. But
well, that's funny. I don't really feel like we, like Kelly and I hung out in high school, and Freddie and I hung out in high school, but Andy, we didn't really hang out.
We became friends. We had common friends.
Yeah.
Friends in common. Yeah.
From high school.
Yeah.
From high school.
We had common high school friends, but then, you know, look what happened to us now.
Right.
It's true.
Look what happened to us.
It is weird because we reshuffled into becoming like very close, whereas the four of us, you know, in high school, we're not like super close.
Yeah, I was cool. We were. That's why.
You and I were super close.
Wink, wink.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There is this thing about Cincinnati, which is where we live, in case you're new, where people ask you where you went to high school. It's like a thing, certainly on the west side of town.
They don't care about where you went to college.
No, it's high school.
Well, it's because we all know someone who went to high school with you.
Right.
Yeah. Because of the way the neighborhoods are set up. Everybody knows somebody that went to Oak Hills. That's how you connect.
I also think like that
Facebook.
There's like a, you know how in Stephen King novels, the way he represents Maine, that when people come in from outside, they're like, you're a stranger, you're up at the boarding house, you are clearly responsible for these murders. I think Cincinnati has that, but with high schools, where if you ask someone where they went to high school and they don't answer with a local school, or they give you that weird expression of, a what?
Yeah, like, why do you care?
Then you know, you're like, you're not from around these parts.
We're not going to be able to connect.
Right. Good news for Cincinnati. Hamilton County is orange.
Yeah. Yay. That's my favorite color.
Orange.
Is it?
Is that good?
Yes. We went down a level of virus catastrophe.
That's exciting.
We were
that's
red.
Really exciting for me.
Isn't there a purple?
Nobody's been purple yet.
Is that the worst?
Yes. Purple is the worst. Red is the next worst. Then orange and yellow.
Purple is hard cock. That's when.
It's been 4 hours COVID or more.
It's fully erect.
And
you
got to.
Throbbing away.
You got to go to the emergency room because it's purple.
Mm-hmm.
So good news, us, I guess.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I can make out with you guys again.
I'm exciting.
Yeah, that was what I was waiting for.
Because that's we used to do that all the time before COVID.
That was our thing. That's
what the show is all about.
Mm-hmm. I miss licking you guys' asses.
We miss having our assholes licked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do. Gross.
Please won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor.
Hi, neighbor.
Like my asshole.
It is good that the county has been downgraded because I might have to serve on a jury soon. So I want to make sure that.
Yeah, Amy got her summons.
I don't have to
couple
breathe
days
in some dirty COVID air at the court.
Oh, just answer the questions very racially charged.
I feel like they'd be on to, they're on to people doing that.
I told her the prosecution would never want Amy because she's like. Her
I'm good at finding reasonable
her
doubt.
Reasonable doubt spectrum is much broader than most.
I don't trust that the justice system gets it right all the time.
I don't that trust one? That they get it right most of the time.
I agree think, with I, you.
I think they weed you out by asking you, do you listen to podcasts?
They should, and then I'll show them every true crime podcast.
They do ask you that. Yeah.
Do you watch Discovery Channel?
Yeah.
They ask you that. They ask you, do you watch crime shows and all
Have
that?
You ever seen Web of Flies? Weebo Flies.
Weebo Flies. Web of Flies. Jury duty is such a pain of the ass.
No, I have always wanted to do it. I'm excited at the prospect, but I don't want to do it right now.
Have you done it?
No, yeah, but I want to be part of it.
You're not going to like it.
Be careful what you wish for.
I know. I want to murder, though.
I'll tell you why you're not going to like it. It's not the jury duty itself, although I wouldn't like that either. You're going to go down there. And you're going to park downtown in an annoying parking lot. You're going to go into the fucking courthouse, which is an annoying place to have to go because you have to go through the fucking metal detectors and shit and take your belt off. And then your pants fall down while you're trying to get to where you're going. And then you just have to put it on in the middle of the room. And then you're going to get up to a room and there will be donuts on Mondays or Wednesdays. Ooh. But you're going to sit around all day long up in this little room with a bunch of people and they're quiet and they're reading the paper and there's some annoying show on the TV and that's it. And then midway through the day, they're going to be like, well, we don't need you today. Go home.
But there are donuts.
Yeah.
There's a few donuts and not every day.
How many times have you done it, Kelly?
I've been called several times. I definitely went and did that. Once, like what? Not like just one waiting. Day, but like a session where I had to go down several days in a row and just wait around.
Yeah,
and then never got called.
Yeah. I did that once, and they always let us go during the worst time. It was during rush hour.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's like you couldn't let me go around like 2 o'clock or, like, or 11 o'clock.
It is a huge pain in the ass.
I like to be part of doing my civic duty.
I think even all that stuff, Amy will find a way to enjoy.
I want
to
please You're that civic right. duty.
She's going to be like, I'm going to catch up on my reading. I'm out of the house.
Well, no, the problem is in normal times, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Now it's like, who is breathing virus on me?
Yes. Yeah, that's scary. But I hope that they're doing everything.
I'm sure they are.
Well, you can stay away from people in that room. So that at least... Most of the time, you should be able to find a little corner by yourself.
But I don't want to go for just like some like guy that
traffic violation.
Yeah, if I get like parking tickets, I'm gonna be so mad.
Do they use juries for that?
I don't really.
Yeah, I think you're probably safe.
I don't
believe they
murder.
Bother with a jury for that.
I want.
That's pretty cut and dry.
I want to be on the Ghislaine Maxwell jury. These are the things I want.
I feel like I'm concerned that. This is a weird thing to say. I'm gonna preface this by saying this is gonna sound incredibly strange.
Are you gonna say that you're scared of retaliation?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, although now I am. Thank you. I was going to say that I'm worried it'll ruin true crime shows for Amy.
No, it'll make it better.
That she'll do jury duty, and she'll be like either traumatized by it and won't want to watch true crime shows anymore, or you'll be critical of true crime shows and you won't want to watch them anymore because you enjoy them so much.
Well, it's a chance we'll have to take.
Yeah, if it's a murder, I mean,
I want a murder
or some horrible crime against a child or something, or animal abuse.
Oh,
I mean, if it's any of those things.
Well, we just saw it during What's the Matter with Ellen. We saw animals.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Oh, what if you're on the trial for Helen?
Helen's trial?
Helen's trial.
Yeah.
Do you hear my dogs?
They barking.
Do you guys hear
my
them?
My dogs are barking. Take your shoes off. Put them up.
Hey, I'm in the cell shower curtain rings.
So, yeah. Cool, huh?
There you go. Jury duty.
Jury duty.
You and Pauly Shore, you can weasel juice.
That's a great movie.
It's my jury duty to please that jury duty.
Before I go.
You should just know what you're... And then before I go into the Biodome, I'll watch Biodome.
Yeah.
Because that's the other news. I'm going into a Biodome.
You watched Son-in-Law before we got married.
That's true. Just to prepare for it.
Yeah. There's a Pauly Shore movie for everything.
Every stage of life.
There is.
Before you dig up a Neanderthal man.
When you discover, a cave person.
Encino Man, I think, is his best.
I agree. Cole just watched that.
That's so good.
The other day,
his
for
best,
maybe the first
his finest
time.
Work.
Yeah. The weasel.
I'm sure I've told you this story before, but I have to every time Pauly Shore comes up. but a friend of mine in high school, his dad owned a comedy club, and it was cool that we got to go for free, and we were also under 21, which, you know, was a big deal that we were in there for us. And I was somehow Pauly Shore came up. I don't know how. And my friend was like, he's not allowed to play my dad's club anymore. And I was like, why is that? And I thought there's going to be this crazy story. But what it was he traveled with such a big entourage. And part of the contract is that those people eat and drink for free at the clubs, I guess. And like, they lost money on Pauly Shore because he had so many people and they drank and ate so much food.
I bet he's wanting to play that club now.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I think he's pretty happy with what he's doing. Horror
Hound. No, I'm sure. I know he's like got a decent year? Career.
Oh, was he a Horror Hound?
It was last year.
So yeah. Yeah, he was a Horror Hound, I think. And then he did a show while he was here.
Yeah.
Like he did a comedy show while he was here for Horror Hound, I think.
Yeah. And his mom, she was like the booker, right, for the comedy.
She owned the comedy store.
Comedy store, LA. Yeah. Or owned it, yeah.
Mitzi Shore.
So I think they're okay. That's still a pretty successful place.
Yeah, so they're going to be okay. They're doing okay.
They're going to be fine.
I think they're doing okay.
Don't worry about the Shores.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that spinoff, Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There.
That's his brother, Jersey.
Jersey. I've been thinking about rewatching the Jersey Shore.
Ooh.
Because I loved it so much.
You did. I remember.
Yeah, and I haven't watched it since it was like airing.
Snooki. Like,
would it be fun to go back?
I wonder like what
enjoy it again.
Future anthropologists are going to do with that material. Just reality shows in general, you know, like when you think about it,
like 400 years from now,
do you think
there's going to be a cover up? I think
when we go and look at ancient Rome and we're, you know, we learn from the stories, they're like, oh, they had vomitoriums. They were so, their lives were so decadent that they had vomitoriums so they could just eat and drink and puke and then do it again and fuck and have all these big giant orgies. I think maybe
Jersey Shore equivalent is this mushroom.
I'm just thinking that maybe we learned about these other civilizations that we picture as being all decadent and everything because that was the reality show of their time. They just painted it on pottery.
Agreed.
They're like, yeah, this is Jaywowicus.
The Smushatorium.
And the Smushatorium and all this stuff. And we're like, regular Romans did not do that stuff. They were just working and they're coming home and they're like, hey, honey, you want to go to the Colosseum and see Christians be fed to lions? And they're like, again, that's all we ever do. You're obsessed. I'm going to make you a man cave where you can feed mice to cat and get it out of your system. Jeez.
And it was a literal cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd that happen?
Marty, what did you do?
That was weird, right?
I guess.
There's clicking and clacking.
Yeah.
A woman's face appeared.
Yeah. A woman's face.
I think it's haunted. I wasn't even touching anything.
Well, it is a haunted movie.
Right?
I don't.
Listeners don't even know what the fuck we're talking about right now.
Like, Freddie started to play the trailer for the
I Roulette didn't movie. Start to play it. It started to play. It I had my hands back here. I'm right here.
Okay, I don't. I'm trying to think.
I am 2 feet
you're
from the computer.
You're the one who's like, it's a ghost.
How did that happen?
It got tired of us talking.
Yeah. Maybe
it's a marketing stunt, guys. Don't worry about it.
That makes sense.
But we're in the ghost pocket.
So they're going to think that we were all like the Jersey Shore cast, the entire our society.
Right. I see what you're saying.
They're going to like 10,000 or how many 2,000 years from now?
No, because they're going to like create holodeck programs.
I love your optimism.
I like to think that humanity will make it in the year 2525 if man is still alive.
And you're going to be able to like
we'll be eating our food as pills.
Play as Snooki on the holodeck program.
The Snooki program.
Do you remember that song?
Your little bump it. Huh?
You'll bump it. Oh, I was just in this and that song 2525. You know, as things get progressively worse as time moves on. Yeah. One of the worst things is we're going to eat our food in pill form. That seemed to really bother the songwriters of that song. They're like, that was like after like crazy wars and shit.
Yeah.
They're like, and you think that's bad?
Just wait.
You're going to eat your food in pill form.
Or well, they like to savor their food. You can't savor a pill. You can't savor a pill.
What if in the future there was no bread and everything was replaced with fried chicken cutlets, like the Double Down from KFC. Mm. I don't even know if they do that anymore.
Well, that is kind of my life right now. I
can't wait for the future. No,
but you don't eat breaded chicken breasts for bread.
I don't do that.
But see, 2,000 years from now, they're going to think that's all we ate.
They're going to be like, clearly, the only thing stopped that, using bread and started.
The only ruins that will survive are KFCs.
Yeah. Every home had this thing in it called a toilet bowl that they could puke or shit out this garbage food into, and then so they could eat more of it. And here's the thing that really should, you know, blow your mind. They had to do these things because their body wasn't 100% efficient at processing the stuff they put in their mouths. So they stuff came out of both ends of them at some point
or another. Dead animals. Can you believe it?
Dead animals.
I feel judged by these.
I don't like them.
By these hypothetical future people.
They could kiss my ass.
Wouldn't it be funny if the vomitorms were really just because Romans just had, like, because of what they were eating, it just made them sick more often. It had nothing to do with decadence at all.
Not good hygiene, maybe. Bad storage of food.
Just threw up a lot. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So they're just like, we just presume that they ate a bunch.
They just threw up a lot.
Uh huh.
They were just prone to stomach issues.
Yeah. Well,
they're eating all that goat cheese.
That's what they call a Roman goodbye. Puke everywhere and pass out.
Don't say goodbye.
Butter in your ass.
just leave.
Just do an Irish goodbye, please.
Roman goodbye. It's where you fist your friend's ass.
It's like Caligula when Malcolm McDowell didn't know they were going to go in and add all those explicit sex scenes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I'm glad we finally made a movie that really represents this period in history.
I love Caligula.
And they're like, come on in here and we're going to bring in the come and vomit crew, as we like to call them. And we're going to put all these scenes in.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah. It's been a fun week.
Patrons, this is what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Do you got some comic boy stuff to say?
We have, we've recorded, as we started doing video, it has changed our process a little bit.
You could put it out as audio and video.
I do both.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We do both.
Freddie goes both ways.
Uh-huh. But it's just tricky because we do it early in the morning, and we have some recorded and ready to go. It just needs to be edited because it's more interesting when you're talking about a visual medium like comics to have references.
It's been a busy week, you know.
Not abysmal.
He had a busy week of listening to Wet Ass Pussy on repeat.
A.K.A. Wet and Gushy.
A.K.A. There's some whores in the house.
Do they say that? Mm-hmm. I didn't even catch that. I do like the
macaroni
pushback.
And a pot.
That they're getting for having is it Kylie Jenner?
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about now?
Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion released.
Who? Who's the second person?
Megan Thee Stallion. She's like, she's real hot right now.
Hot Girl Summer.
I've lost.
Savage with Beyonce.
I have no.
Oh, Kelly, you will love.
You will love Megan Thee Stallion.
She's up your alley.
I said, well, I don't like Cardi B.
You don't need to, but you'll like Megan Thee Stallion.
I like Cardi B as a person. Her music's never done much for me. And then Wet Ass Pussy came out. And that came out Friday. Right. Do yourself a favor. WAP or WAP? What are we calling it?
WAP, I guess.
And
it is
filthy.
If you watch the video, this is the interesting thing. And I've heard people argue that the clean version sounds dirtier. So
instead of wet ass pussy, it's wet and gushy.
Wet and gushy. And and in the music video, there's all of these like sexy black women. And then all of a sudden, Kylie Jenner pops up for like 30 seconds.
Oh.
And there's been some fun pushback from Black Twitter about that. Do yourself a favor after you watch the video and go look at some of the comments people have made. It's pretty funny.
I agree with Black Twitter.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck is she doing there?
Black Twitter's usually right about most things.
Yeah.
But it is filthy and delightful. I encourage everybody to enjoy it.
Since I stopped listening to the radio, I have not been as on top of pop you know, top 40 pop stuff as I was.
You know what's happening?
I don't know how this becomes a top 40 song unless radio stations are changing their rules.
But that's the kind of, that's what I would consider top 40 pop music.
Well, yeah,
it is.
Cardi B.
It's just dirty. I realize, like, as my hearing gets worse and I get older and I'm not as connected to pop culture, maybe I it's just all just this big nonsense mystery cloud of names and faces that I don't know.
Yeah, that's called getting older.
Yeah, and it's every time it happens, it makes me think of the Pete Holmes Celine Dion thing, where even
your favorite recording,
right? Like, even your favorite things, you don't care enough to pronounce them correctly anymore. I'm almost getting to that point where I'm just like, it's close enough. It's my favorite thing, the thing I care most about in the world, but also it's close enough when I talk about it.
Can we talk about my favorite movie, Jaws?
Yeah, Jaws.
Jaws.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Jaws. Amy's on the pulse of what's going on in the world, right? Amy's hip, aren't you?
Sure. I've been watching Scrubs, NYPD Blue, King of the Hill.
Don't forget Taxi.
In Taxi. Yeah. I was watching reading Twitter. I mean, Twitter I enjoy very much. And so the world exploded with wet ass pussy on Friday. And I was like, well, I got to find out what this is.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did.
Just sometimes.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm not on Twitter. I mean, I am, but I don't ever look at it.
Yeah.
And I don't use it at all. Yeah. So I miss those things. I do listen to a lot of like newer music, new to me, but it's all like recently, it's just all like hard psychedelic doom stoner rock.
Yeah. That generally doesn't show up on the top 40.
Mostly.
No, it doesn't.
People don't even know what this is.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, people do, but like not most people.
Not the cool people.
Yeah. We're 40. We can't be expected to know what the kids are listening to.
40.
I'm 43.
I want 40 to look different for me than I thought it was going to be. Like, you know, when you think of somebody that's 40 when you're like 16, you're like 40. Yeah, you're practically dead.
It is.
And I'm like, no, I want to be fun.
Well, I think it is. I think
the 40s are great.
40 is the best.
We're more fun than the generation that was 40 before us.
Yeah.
People back when we were kids, they didn't wear t-shirts.
No.
They wore blouses.
That's true.
And trousers.
Everybody wore work clothes.
Polo shirts.
Did you ever see your dad in a t-shirt? No.
My dad didn't wear shirts very much.
Your dad didn't wear shirts.
Undershirts or, yeah.
My dad's body rejected shirts.
Well, you never saw your parents wear shorts?
Red shorts that his balls would hang out of.
Well, I never saw my parents wear a t-shirt with the movie on it
There you go. Yeah, certainly no youth.
We're younger.
Nothing my parents wore was youthful.
Would it be funny though? Imagine if your mom and dad had like Howdy Doody merch, a room just full of nothing but Howdy Doody stuff.
Be so creepy.
Yeah, you say that, but then that's exactly what's happening now. It's like,
no, because Howdy Doody was a children's show. That's weird that adults would have a room full of
Our friend Nathan has an entire room full of Masters of the Universe stuff.
I know what I just did. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It would have been considered weird because it was weird then.
Okay. It's a complete cultural shift. Like, and we're youthful. Everyone's more youthful now.
Do you want to come into my duty room?
I think it's because we're living longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we're going to continue living longer as long as the human race continues. That's a lot of interesting things in medical. I'm hoping they get this stopping the aging shit a little bit more advanced before I age too much more.
Yeah.
Do you think, isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Moisturizers, SPF. They didn't have SPF when we were kids.
That humanity living longer is also the thing that will end humanity probably.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it. Well, no, we'll live longer, have more time to figure out space travel, and then we'll colonize other planets. Well,
that's why, that's one of the reasons I believe that you kind of have
then
to
we'll be all right.
Spread off of this planet at some point.
Let's hope. We can fuck up other planets.
Yeah.
This conversation turned deep, man.
It got deep.
I don't even know how we got here.
Yeah.
I still feel a lot of the times that I'm Amy Poehler from Mean Girls. Like, I'm not the regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
I'm cool for the old lady.
Yeah. I'm a cool adult. I'm not one of those regular adults.
I go to Disney World and I watch silly stuff.
I really like, honestly, as much bad shit is going on, I really like where society is right now.
I don't.
From respecting mental health.
Yeah.
It feels like for the first time in my lifetime that people really seem to give a shit about each other.
Well, yeah, I know it's easy to look at everything, especially for people who aren't, you know, straight white dudes. It's hard to see anything good or, you know, progress. But I do think you have to kind of, just to feel better about it or feel okay, you have to look at it. It is better than it was. You know what right. I mean? No matter how bad it is, it was worse.
Yeah, it's more difficult now because we're all expected to make things better every day.
Well, it's like there's no such thing as the good old days.
Yeah.
No. Because it was bad for some group.
Or making America great again. Like,
no.
Like, the past sucked. I'm sorry, it did.
Oh, no, the society and everything is always a work in progress.
It always should be.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah. I love convenience.
They're always progressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't have habanero lime pistachios back then.
Yeah.
But now they
there was
do.
No Rebel ice cream.
No Rebel ice cream.
Everyone thought that sugars were good for you and fat was all bad.
That's and true.
Now, you know, now we're starting to get better because we're learning the flip.
The flippity flops.
That's right.
All right. Well, cool. Fun.
Yeah, cool. Exciting. You know what's gonna save society? We're gonna get rid of money.
I agree.
I love that.
God, we sound like communists right now.
Well, I've seen this meme or joke a few times rolling around Star Trek social media, but it's like Star Trek's like, hey, we've changed society to the point where we don't need money anymore and everybody has everything they need. Well, how did you do that? And then it's like three dots. Will you tell us, please? We deserve to know.
I think it just has to happen.
Yeah.
You just need to look. There were times in human history where we didn't have money.
I think
some cultures don't have currency.
I think the people who think it's really important, like we just have to like throw them on the ground and hold them there, like gently.
Well, it's about motivation, you know? Oh my God. How do we get such a deep conversation? But you know, you think about it, like currency is just that carrot and stick situation to make people do what you want.
Yeah, it's made up.
So I get why it's so easy. It is an easy system to lean on because you're like, powerful people have a lot of money. They want things done. They spread it around. And that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's made up.
Construct, man.
Dude, man. It's like, you know, like some people use clams and that's why they call them clams.
Some people that is their currency clams.
Mm-hmm.
I want my ass to be my currency, but nobody's biting.
Do you want your ass to be your currency?
Yeah, he means clam. You getting some clam?
You don't want to make like how do you make change for an ass? You pop little turds out, and they're like, "That's a quarter."
No, I just want to be. I like the idea of being paid for sexual favors.
Do you now?
Well, yeah. you know, you can make that happen.
Shave and a haircut, two cheeks.
I don't know how I'll give you change though.
You just pay two cheeks for a shave and a haircut.
Yeah.
Freddie
and I.
Somebody wants a haircut. You're like, I'll suck your dick if you cut my hair. I don't have any money. And you're like, okay.
Well, that's how you do it. That's legit.
Easy.
Freddie and I are watching some old Jeopardy college tournament.
Oh, I love Jeopardy.
I don't even.
So
this is probably a year or two old. This.
Yeah, they were older. They're on Hulu.
But there's a kid on there.
Yeah, went through all the Hulu Jeopardy. Yeah,
oh, so you
do
saw?
Do you remember Thatcher Chanka?
Probably.
He looked like a caveman, and his name was Thatcher Chanka.
Thatcher sounds familiar. Yeah.
Chanka.
Chanka.
Thatcher Chanka.
Chanka.
Upsetting.
Did he win?
He did. He was in the tournament of champions.
I thought he lost.
Wasn't he?
To the lady.
I mean, in that round he did.
I don't remember.
I mean, Chonka.
He's a champion. Right. Chonka the champion.
Chonka the champion.
And then he fried a giant pterodactyl egg at one point. It's hilarious. Oh no, that wasn't Chanka.
What college did you go to? Flintstone University.
Yeah. Indeed.
Bedrock campus. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we should move on. I could feel like a whole nother round of strange conversation coming on, and I want to follow that, but also we got to talk about movies.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we do.
Hooga chanka.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Tina.
Caroline.
Hi, Teddy.
Let's do a shot glass to us.
Okay, everyone get in. 3, 2, 1.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I've never done this over Zoom. Obviously, we're not physically together, but there's no reason why spirit can't communicate over the internet.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Visualize us sitting in a circle. Spirit, we invite you to use us to pass on any communication. Is there anyone there? Please come forth.
What was that? Amy, was that you?
I heard it.
I heard something.
I think there's something here.
Did you say that? Emma, not funny.
Connected with something. We gotta keep going. We gotta talk to it.
This is not good. I told you not to disrespect the spirits. It could be something demonic.
Hey, this is all your fault. Not my fault. This is your fault.
Emma, turn the filters off. Come on.
Oh, Kelly, you're muted. Hold on.
Oh,
there we go. Sorry about that. It's just
that's
so
okay.
Trailer.
Yeah. That was an unfortunate trailer because we saw the whole movie.
Yeah, So I don't have much. It's gonna sound like I don't have much to say about this movie, but it's mostly because I don't want to spoil it. And so this is good. I enjoyed this movie. It's a very enjoyable movie. It is fluff. So just understand that. Like there is. This movie is like not even an hour long, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to say is going to sound spoilery. But again, if you watch the trailer, you're mostly going to get this. So this is basically Paranormal Activity over a Zoom meeting during pandemic. And if you didn't like Paranormal Activity, you're not going to like this probably, unless you just are really into social media, you know, computer screen movies. Like if you don't like Paranormal Activity, but you like those movies, you might get something out of this. But it is a very simple, super low budget ghost movie set, you know, in a Zoom meeting. What I thought was really effective about it was it felt exactly like what we are doing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really did. The characters all felt real. Even like the, you know, sometimes with these movies, you tend to get like archetypes, and this one's the annoying bitchy one, and this one's the stoner, and this one's the this. They were more just like real people. I felt like everybody was maybe even just playing themselves.
Yeah. Well, even the psychic lady they brought in, it wasn't over the top.
Yeah. No.
It just felt like somebody you would meet at Horror Hound or like a psychic fair.
Yeah.
And normal enough that you would be willing to hang out. They're not a weirdo, right? Yeah. Like she seems
exactly.
Real.
No, we said, I think we even said when we were watching this, like, oh, we know that lady. Like we,
yeah, I feel like I've met this lady many times.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of good jump scares. Like I said, I mean, it really is very Paranormal Activity. There's one of the characters, does something who's not taking it seriously that does end up causing it to be a bigger problem. I won't say what that thing is that they do, but they do a thing that makes things bad. And again, it just, I mean, I don't have too much, like, it's so short and so little kind of happens that, like, to say too much would be giving away anything. And it's such a compact little thing that really it is just, it's some good ghosty jump scares in a setting that you're probably super familiar with. If you've done any of these pandemic Zoom meetings, now, if you're one of these people who's like, I haven't locked down at all, then this won't mean a goddamn thing to you. But
it was surreal. The medium of just filming it, and literally it is Zoom. It's a fake version of Zoom. It feels like they just recorded a Zoom meeting.
That's exactly what it looked. I mean, I think that is what they did too. The effects are very, like, we could have, you know, if we were able to come up with this kind of story, we could have done this.
But
like,
they're, I mean, I'm so not saying, effective.
Yeah,
it is. It's the next stage of found footage, I think, is, you know, is these sort of screen movies. I have not seen Unfriended. I watched that one we did for the show where it was a haunting in a Facebook meeting or something. Do you guys vaguely remember that?
Unfriended. I mean,
well, there was another one, like
Friend Request.
The witch.
Yeah.
Then there was the Den.
The Den
was really good.
It might have been. Well, no, it wasn't the Den then.
Yeah.
Whatever I watched, there was one with, I think, a witch.
Ding ding.
There was like a girl.
That's Friend Request.
Was that a straight to video?
No, it was a theater.
It's not in the theater. That was terrible.
Whatever I watched that was like this was for straight to video, so it was a version of that, but not good in any way. This was a fun, short, just kind of smack you around and then leave you.
It was a delightful little nugget.
And like I said, the people all felt basically real.
Yeah. Did you get Ghost Watch vibes at all?
I haven't watched Ghost Watch.
Oh, you haven't watched Ghost Watch.
But I keep meaning to. I'm going to. I'm just saving it for like a spooky night.
Yeah.
To watch Ghost Watch. But so I can't say if I got Ghost Watch vibes off of this. I'll let you know after I watch Ghost Vibes. We'll come back and do another.
I really love the way that the filmmakers use the constraints of a Zoom trial to time out their movie. I think that's brilliant. There was just things in this. I was really shocked at how much I like this movie because they had enough to just kind of lean on the gimmick, but they really took some care making a really great movie.
Yeah. You said the care they put into it, like the little nods of the time and place that we're at.
Yes.
Like, there's that scene where with the flower.
Yeah.
Because it's a little nod to how everybody's baking now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and just seeing like
that's
character.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. And the use of filters during inappropriate moments. Yeah.
Yep. There's a character who leaves their house and puts on their mask to go out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's all, like you said, there's a lot of just little details that aren't even, like, you don't even necessarily think about them as details exactly. It's just to really drive home what we're going through right now. Like, I think its strength is really making it just feel like,
Like it captures the realness of his time.
Yeah. It was a really tight little movie. I'm excited to see this team maybe do something else after this.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where a girl brings her laptop into the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel that's a very prescient thing, too.
It was. It wasn't overbearing. Like, I think one of you said that. Like, it could have been overbearing, and it wasn't. It just felt real. It was just like, they're like, let's do this as if it was real, but then make up this other thing that happens while we do this.
Do you, fuck, my brain quit.
Well, I have a thing to say. I loved how small the pandemic was as part of the movie. Like, I don't want, I don't want somebody to make a movie right now that's like all about the sadness and drama of this time. I want somebody to do something fun with this as the backdrop, and this was perfect for me.
I remember. That's exactly what it was. It was just a backdrop.
Now, you saying backdrop made me think of it. Like, recording the video of herself and using it as her background, the one character, was really clever. And I can't believe I hadn't thought of that already, but that was neat.
So we all agree that host is the most.
Yeah, it was real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, 'twas real good.
Sure, I like it.
I did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, and it's basically real time too, which adds to the tension.
Exactly. Yeah, it takes place, you know, in real time. So it really is like you're on this Zoom call.
That's like a roller coaster. That's exciting to be on a Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
In this case.
All righty. Let's see who's up next for next week. Get the Jack in the Box out.
Won't be me.
And we're gonna crank it. Andy, you get to crank first. You're Jason Statham over here.
Oh, crank it. Yeah.
I'm up next.
You got cranked.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
We're going to do a little movie called... Hold on. I lost it. My Hulu app closed. It's on Hulu. It's called The Lodge. I think a lot of people have seen it or been talking about it recently. When the father is forced to abruptly depart for work, he leaves his children, Aiden and Mia, in the care of his new girlfriend, Grace. Isolated and alone, a blizzard traps them inside the lodge as terrifying events summon specters from Grace's dark past.
Alicia Silverstone in it, doesn't it?
Bitch, what do I look like?
Somebody they should change that to a father, not the father.
Right, yeah. Like a father, just a father.
Mm. The father.
A daddy.
The father.
The
like,
father.
Holy shit, the father?
He's a daddy.
Like Megan... The Stallion.
So was I right? Is it Alicia Silverstone?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I think she's in it.
Okay.
Remember her?
Liv Tyler plays the father.
Yeah. Aerosmith does the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Surprising no one's heard of this.
I'm excited then. So yeah. I'll talk about that next week.
I like those trapped movies.
Like a bottle episode, but in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back with the main attraction.
So you met someone, and now you know how it feels.
Somebody cut me. Somebody out there cut me.
Goody, goody.
I wanted to see you bleed. I wanted to be sure you can. You'll bleed all right. So will the other one.
Debbie Reynolds is Adele. Shelley Winters is Helen. What's the matter with Helen?
Something the matter? You okay, Helen?
It's dangerous.
He may be just a harmless crank.
Got so deep, but I have fun.
What's the matter?
What kind of a screwball would do such a thing? Why pick on me?
Let's not be bothering the lady.
Are you scared? Yes, of course I am. I'm scared as hell.
I'm so sorry. I always seem to frighten you, don't I?
Surprise entrances are one thing, Mr. Starr. Snooping is another.
How right you are.
Adele, please don't turn on the light.
Helen?
Yes?
Do you wish me well?
Of course I do, dear.
Some people who call themselves well-wishers do crazy things.
One cannot be too careful.
What's the matter with Helen?
Thank you.
with Helen.
So that's another trailer.
Yeah,
that gives away everything.
What's the deal?
I see this on Reddit all the time. In our movies, people talk about trailers these days give away the whole movie. They always did.
That's true.
They always did. Reddit. Do you hear me? Reddit.
Uh-oh.
Reddit.
Don't take on Reddit.
Stop it.
Don't take on Reddit. They'll destroy you.
Great movie though.
It is a great movie, and but don't you feel like this setup is so strange?
Yes. Well, I felt like they started off, and this director, who loves dance numbers, by the way, I feel like he was like, let's do, the studio was like, we need a Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, well, I've already got Shelley Winters. We just made this other movie. I don't know which one came first, actually.
This one came first.
So he was like, I've got her to do this movie later. Let's see if we can get Debbie Reynolds. We'll do a version of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane that is less focused and a little bit more meandering and not the same story.
it's two middle-aged women. That's enough for it to be.
Well, and they're both a little crazy. I think that's where the seeds of this maybe.
Oh, I totally agree. It's definitely like almost an homage to Baby Jane.
That's something like that. And two kind of crazy middle-aged women.
But don't you love that setup where they're like the newsreel in the beginning, which I texted you guys because I was like, "Is this what am I
we
seeing?"
We thought the same thing at first.
Yeah,
because we were like, "Oh, this isn't the right video." And then I was like, "Well, let's let it play."
They're like these horrible murders, and then here's the mothers of the accused, the convicted killers, and they're in the back of a car, and it's our main characters, and then they're like, "We're going to Hollywood," and you're like, "What? What?" You're like, it almost felt like they're bearing the lead of this In Cold Blood type of story that's going on. And then they're like, no, we're going to go to Hollywood.
Yeah. So I guess were the mothers friends before the kids murdered together or?
I think they became friends because of the trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just lean on each other because for support.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the sense that they probably were familiar with each other, and then being thrown into this horrible situation, they got close. And then I think Debbie Reynolds' character had these aspirations already. And I also think this inspired the fucking Frank's Beauties episode of It's Always Sunny. these children really enjoyed pageantry. But
animal crackers in my soup.
They even fucking spoil the poster. Jesus. I'm looking at it. Freddie's got the poster for the movie up.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just, I don't need to watch it, I guess.
Let's just put Debbie Reynolds' dead body on there. And then Helen, Shelley Winters just looking fucking nuts.
Yeah.
That'll entice people to go to the movies.
But yeah, I think Debbie Reynolds had these aspirations. And then, you know, Helen, Shelley Winters' character is so like, sort of in her own world and barely hanging on. I think she sort of follows her and eventually I think sort of falls in love with her.
Yeah. There's definitely some, lesbian vibes between
and
the two. Yeah.
Intense jealousy. Well, you can see.
That's what I said right off the bat. I thought it was going to be more like, and I mean this in the 70s way of them looking at it. I thought, oh, I think they're trying to say that's what's wrong with Helen.
Right.
Well,
I agree. I said the same thing, Kelly. I was like, oh, we know what the matter with Helen is. She's a lesbian. And
Helen,
but they played it more subtle than that.
Right.
Helen relates this story about her husband dying and getting run over by the plow. And then later you find out that, in fact, he was abusing her and she killed him.
Yeah.
To stop it. Right.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
So,
I think I was out of it.
Well, I caught that she killed him. I didn't catch that he was abusing her. She said she couldn't stand for him to touch her.
Right. Oh.
And so she pushed him into the blaze.
Maybe she was just gay.
Yeah, maybe.
And
you know
she
what?
Was like, I don't want a man touching me.
I thought
me.
She said abuse, but you're right. Or maybe I was just filling in the blanks for myself. So yeah,
and
maybe
it could be. I can't remember exactly either, but I didn't get that either. I thought she just killed him.
Yeah.
I think this is the Italian poster, but it's really great. If you go to IMDb, I recommend looking at the images for this movie. But
that is a great poster.
Yeah, it's like in the foreground, there's a giant butcher knife with three bodies laying over the edge, and then behind it are Helen and Adele.
Well, that poster makes it look a lot gorier than it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, it has quite a bit of blood in this movie something with Debbie Reynolds and Shelley Winters in it. You don't expect that much blood.
Like, they decide to you know, Debbie Reynolds already has this plan post her child and Shelley Winters' child being convicted of murder. They're like, we're just going to change our names, which is a thing you could do back in the 30s or 40s whenever this was supposed to be set.
Yeah, you could just say you had a different name.
Yeah.
And that worked.
Yeah, you move 2,000 miles away and you give yourselves different names and they're going to live together and be best friends in California while Debbie Reynolds runs her dance studio. But Debbie Reynolds is ready to just kind of fucking shuck off being who she was before.
Well, I think that might, if we want to give this movie deeper credit, I think that, and there were a couple things that they said where it almost felt like she maybe did sort of neglect her kid. Like her kid maybe was a bit of a burden on her because she wanted to be this star. And so it maybe did lead to some of the kid's psychological problems where for her, it was not a big deal. Although later she says she's writing him a letter every day or every week. Who knows if that actually happened, but I got the sense that her character did sort of was like happy to be free of.
Yeah, she bounced back pretty well.
She was ready to be a different person.
She immediately hopped into that like that jumper or whatever you call that kind of outfit and put on those tap shoes. Like I'm surprised she wasn't wearing that at like the final like sentencing hearing.
Oh, agreed.
And she's going to tap dance out of the room like, yay.
She's definitely the dance teacher who had a studio just so she could be dancing.
Right.
Like, she really wanted to be the one at the recital.
She's always, when they make themselves part of the children's dance recital, it's always a little weird.
Yeah.
I think that always happens.
It seems like it always does, and it's always weird.
This definitely was, she was like, I'm going to be the star. Again, it was just like Dee in that episode of It's Always Sunny. Yeah.
There's a lobby card. That has for this again. IMDb images are great. It has this tagline that sounds like hip hop lyrics. So you met someone and now you know how it feels. Goody goody.
Oh,
wet and gushy.
Yep, wet and gushy.
Wet and gushy. Dennis Weaver as a leading man.
I like Dennis Weaver. Remember in Duel?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. He feels like a character actor that they kept trying. Like, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Dennis Weaver, but he felt like a character actor that they kept trying to push into like a leading man role.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he has leading man looks.
Right? Yeah.
I agree.
See, I didn't think he did.
I think he was very good looking in this movie. He was a daddy.
He is good looking, but like, I feel like in like a second banana kind of way.
You feel like he's playing second banana to Burt Reynolds?
I feel like he's like the poor man's Burt Reynolds.
He's like second Burt Nana?
Yeah, he's like Burt Reynolds should be the lead. And then Dennis Weaver is like his very good-looking friend.
Well, do you think they wanted Burt Reynolds, but they decided against casting him because they thought people would think they were related?
Was this a little Debbie early Reynolds? For Burt Reynolds? When did Deliverance come out?
Around this time.
Was it? All right. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, maybe.
His character didn't help with him being thought of as a character actor because the Texan dad.
Yeah.
It was just so over the top that I just imagined him coming in with like six shooters, like pew pew.
It was very much like the Quincy character from Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Like, although I think doesn't Dennis Weaver kind of have an accent anyway, sounded fake.
Yeah, this was played up a lot, I think.
Yeah, it seemed like really played up.
Like, hey there, little darling, you look as cold as an armadillo in December.
You think it's supposed to be like Rhett Butler?
Maybe.
I don't know.
You know, when we were watching the credits at the beginning, I was like, what am I in for? Because I didn't know anything about this movie. So the first thing I saw, Hair Creations by.
Yeah.
I'm like, Hair Creations?
Here's a hair creation.
And then. Yeah.
Good gravy.
Then there's a choreographer and a musical number credit. And I'm like, what is about to happen here?
But remember, the other movie has a dance moment.
True.
This director, I wonder if they did other musical stuff.
I don't know. So, yeah, like you have Debbie Reynolds. They were like, oh, we hired Debbie Reynolds. Let's put her in some dance numbers.
Do you think on her last day of shooting for this, they're like, that's a wrap on Reynolds.
Oh,
that's a Reynolds rap.
And they just kept trying to say it. Nobody was picking up on it.
Yeah.
And the person just kept walking around saying it until finally somebody was like, yeah, we got it.
Does somebody want to cut the cake for Debbie? And you're like, no, you don't understand. And then later he's like, Debbie, do you want to take some of your wrap cake home with you? I can, I can wrap it in some Reynolds wrap. She was like,
so,
okay.
You know, they're,
so she brought cake to the set every day, just hoping someone would make that joke.
Yeah.
It's her wrap cake.
So they go to California, and that's clearly the dance studio is working out well for everybody because
it's booming.
Yeah. There's a bunch of kids and a bunch of dance moms, and Helen's playing the piano for rehearsals and such. And
they're making enough money to keep Helen and rabbits.
Yeah, Helen's got
hire an elocution teacher.
An elocution teacher.
Although I wouldn't say so much they hire him as he strong arms his way in.
Which was strange, right?
He's like a nefarious Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, but not really nefarious.
They try to
feels that way.
They try to trick you into thinking this guy who shows up to be the elocution teacher might have some.
Mm-hmm.
Evil plan, but he doesn't.
You know what I think it is? He recognizes who Helen is.
She crazy.
No, I mean that she's gay, and because he's gay.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that he sees that, and that he's like, oh, I know. And that's kind of the recognition. And
he does feel like he handles her very gently too.
Yeah, and but she also, I think that's why she sees him as a threat.
Yeah.
Just the way I read it. I don't know if that's at all the intention, because they pussyfooted around these topics so much back then.
When I do, I feel like you can read that. And like, again, if they put that much thought into it, and I don't know anything about this director, I actually kind of want to go and look some of this up a little bit, because that, if that subtext is deliberate, that's great.
Well, I know,
because
the director,
I definitely see what you're saying. Yeah.
The director was gay himself, so he could. The subtext is definitely there.
Yeah, I thought so. Don't ask me why, because I don't really know. I just had that feeling.
You're just smart like that. Everything's going great, and then Adele meets Lincoln, who's Dennis Weaver, and they're falling in love. And Helen is already dealing with PTSD from whatever happened to her husband. From what happened with her kid being a murderer, and then the prospect of Adele like abandoning her for a man,
yeah,
pushes this bitch straight over the edge.
And she's been listening to these really intense religious broadcasts from this freaky deaky LA church
from Andorra.
From yeah. You know, I didn't realize that was Agnes Moorehead until Andy, you're the one who said it. Yeah.
Prime Minister of Thailand over here.
She's great.
She is great.
And this character is like freaking spooky in a lot of ways.
I knew it was her, but like, I was like, oh, she looks like that even without the purple eyeshadow. Like, she just always looks like Andorra, no matter what.
Yeah.
Just harsh.
I thought it was the makeup. And I was like, no.
Yep. She's a harsh looking woman.
That's just her. She's great though. Love it. She nails it.
Yeah.
All the women in this movie were very strong.
Yeah.
Gave good face. Really sold what their characters were going through. At a certain point, like at the beginning of the movie, they were getting threatening phone calls from clearly somebody that was related to or a loved one of the person the boys killed, right?
Or a troll.
Or just an asshole troll.
Or someone that lived in the walls.
Yeah. And when they are in LA and now we're in the California portion of the movie, they're getting some heavy breathing.
Oh, did we say this is like the 1930s?
I said 30s or 40s.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. So like, I love this old Hollywood thing. Yeah. And in fact, this movie didn't feel like it was made in 71.
No.
But it feels like one of those classic Hollywood movies. It's great. It's such a great, great, great movie. I'm so glad we did this. This is like now like one of my favorite movies, I think.
Yeah. It's a very strong movie. And it really took its time. I feel like some people might think it's boring because it does take its time and it does meander a little bit. But like the payoff, especially that final scene, which they just keep spoiling in the poster.
Yeah.
It was so impactful for me, that end.
Yeah. Well, it's unsettling because the way they foreshadow it's great.
Yeah.
When she goes to get a new water bowl for the rabbits from the basement, and the cutout that Debbie Reynolds travels with of herself in her costume is defaced and bloodied. Yeah. And that's pretty much how she looks at the end of the movie when, you know, we always spoil these main attractions, but Helen kills her and then has her all trussed up like she's performing.
Oh, that was so fucking creepy. She's finally had her break and she's just playing the piano while she imagines that Debbie Reynolds' dead body is dancing. It's
how she's staring at the camera basically at the end and just like,
yeah, just her face like, is playing really intensely,
trying to will her alive again.
Yeah.
Even though you killed her.
Yeah. Well, even the look of Debbie Reynolds' dead body looked like she was actually dead because she had this like blue undertone to her.
Yeah.
That sounds like a death metal album. Debbie Reynolds' dead body.
Debbie Reynolds'
the new Cannibal Corpse.
It does sound like that.
But another thing I liked about the movie is like they didn't go too much into the past.
No.
And like the backstory of what happened to the kids and the relationships with their husbands. I feel like that could be another movie in and of itself.
It's better left to the imagination.
I think that's what one of the strong things about it is like the moments you do get the past, it's really kind of up in your face. Like you see her husband's body for just a split second after he's gone through the fucking plow.
His arms cut off.
It's gross.
Yeah.
And like you see the body of the person that their sons supposedly killed. Now, did you guys get any kind of impression that maybe Helen had killed that person too? I can't tell.
I can't tell if I was reading into that too much or if they were trying to,
like a psycho thing,
trying to insinuate that somehow she was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that too.
Yeah. That's why I would like almost a prequel to this movie just so it can expand on all these little hints they dropped us.
Oh, you could, Ryan Murphy could turn this into a TV series.
Yeah.
Easy.
And ruin it.
What about the random little person encounter in this movie?
Yeah, that just felt like somebody on the crew knew.
Yeah, they were just the little girl, one of the little dance students, runs into a little person and stares at her. And she's like, it's not polite to stare. And I'm like, how does this moment serve the story? It's like, didn't you wait for something to pay off with that? Like that character, and I feel like maybe he was saying something that went over my head.
I think it was time to like make it more like Hollywood.
Just because, oh, look how strange this is.
Yeah, like Hollywood or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
That's the impression I got, at least.
I agree. It felt like a weird throw. Like it felt like it was supposed to be a more important moment that ended up just being a throwaway. How about the creepy pedo pageant number?
Oh, the Mae West number?
Oh my God. Yeah, Elise was like,
it was so bad.
Little kids should never do impressions of Mae West. It's like, not okay.
It's the recital night and you're seeing different acts and this one little girl has this whole Mae West like, how about you come and see me something? Like that kind of like.
And it was nasty, man.
It was nasty, man.
Nasty, man. But I think it was, again, because it was her mother that like really pushed her into this. I think it was just like this, look at what this disgusting stage mother has made her daughter do.
It's to show that Hollywood can corrupt people.
Yeah. Stage moms and whatnot.
Yeah, the stage mom thing is,
I mean, at one point, like,
it was very gypsy.
The little girl doing Mae West actually does a titty shake.
She does. Well, they gave her fake. They stuffed her bra. This little girl, they stuffed her bra. She had fake boobies.
It's very gypsy.
And they kept cutting to Jeff Ross in the front row, just cheering. I just read about
Chris D'Elia next to him.
Wait, Jeff Ross?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Apparently, Jeff Ross is a pedophile.
He had a relationship with like a 15-year-old.
Yeah, and then she says she found a bunch of pictures of little girls and is like Polaroids of them.
Sven Swenson as the gigolo.
Yep. And Timothy Carey was the tramp.
So there's a point where Helen gets a letter addressed to her original name, Helen Hill. And she's like, I don't want any part of this nonsense. And she like refuses to open it. Somebody sends a newspaper clipping of the murder story, the kids murdering, to Lincoln, Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, and he thinks that she just sent it.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, by the way, this is going on.
My kid was a murderer.
I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to just send you an anonymous newspaper clipping.
And they're getting the threatening phone calls again. So like somebody's on to them. So a guy comes to the house to deliver something and Helen kills him.
Very much a nod to Psycho in this sequence.
Yes, for sure.
Because she thinks he's the person that's been harassing them. It turns out he is, but they both... Debbie Reynolds finds out what happens. They hide the body in a trench in the road. Very convenient.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is in today, like someone would have just been like, oh, Shelley Winters was just, you know, engaging her castle, right? Like, because he did
stand
not
your ground,
say
baby.
He did not say who he was.
Right.
He walked right up the steps to her, didn't announce who he was, and she pushed him and he fell and died. And while she is a psycho, if she hadn't been, that would have just been a simple, you know.
Well, it's funny because they do have a detective does come by later and he's like, do you know this person? And it's a picture of the guy she killed.
Did we say that they moved the body out into the ditch? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed that part.
Well, it's funny. You're on this trivia here where it says like Joanne Woodward, Shirley MacLaine and Estelle Parsons were all offered roles. I can totally see like all of them.
Estelle Parsons. She was on Roseanne too.
Yeah. She was Shelley Winter's daughter.
Oh yeah. Like,
and Shelley Winters was on Roseanne.
Yeah.
They were playing mother and daughter.
Parsons' mother.
Yeah. Was Shirley MacLaine ever on connection. Roseanne?
I don't think so.
Estelle Parsons was, she always kind of played like crazy, even though she wasn't old, but in the 70s, she always played kind of crazy older women. She's great in Bonnie and Clyde as Gene Hackman's wife.
A detective comes by later to question Shelley Winters, like, this dude was supposed to be coming to your house, so we're here to question you about this dead body that was found out on the street. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, you know what? You seem like a nice white person, so I'm going to leave because you're right. You're right. Why would you do anything wrong? Well, I would hate to bother you by. It's like, this is very suspicious, but she does a good job of throwing them off the scent. But
that Shelley Winter scent.
What do you think she smells like?
Oh, ginger. Gingerbread.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Something warm. Something inviting.
Agreed.
Yeah. Gingerbread, hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Just a scotch of poop. It's a little poop smell, but you're not sure. It might be her breath.
Or her. Yeah, but things are getting serious between Adele and Lincoln, and that pushes our friend Helen right over the edge, and she kills her. And the rabbits. Why'd she kill the rabbits?
Because they were going to move. She was kicking her out, and she's like, well, guess these rabbits got to die, because otherwise they're just going to starve to death. So I'm going to kill them now with my knife.
Yeah, she's, I think, had her psychotic break and just killed everything.
The whole story about Shelley Winters going through that same sort of nervous breakdown while they made this movie is so weird. Like,
not a murderous one.
Yeah, like this story about Debbie Reynolds driving her to the set and finding her out on the road in her gown.
Nightgown.
You know, that's scary. That's like somebody who needs to be probably in a hospital. At that point,
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah. She was having,
I see it. That's what you have up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. She was saying that she thought she was late. But you know, we were talking about like alternate castings, like people who would have played these roles. If you remade this now, who would you cast in these roles? I had like an immediate thing pop in my head watching it, or it was weird. I don't know why immediately I was like Kristen Chenoweth as the Debbie Reynolds character and Melissa McCarthy as the
yeah, now Shelley that'd be Winters. Just about perfect. That would be just about perfect. I thought of Kathy Bates a lot.
Yeah.
As Annie Wilkes when I was watching this. She's a little past.
Yeah, I thought about Kathy Bates too.
I thought Octavia Spencer would be really good in the show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She'd be great.
Ooh, Yeah.
I would love to see Leslie Jordan play the elocution teacher.
Yeah. I love that guy. What happened to him in the end?
They at the end, he goes to see Helen, scares her like he always does. And they sort of walk off like they're going to go do something, but he never shows back up again.
Yeah.
So she's like killed the rabbits. She kills Adele, but yeah, you never see him.
Wasn't there a guy kind of a similar character? Was that in Baby Jane where the guy who was always cutting bananas into his cereal?
I don't remember much about that movie.
And he was kind of like a kind of a similar character. I don't remember. I could be thinking of a different movie. It all blurs together, Celine Dion at this age.
Mm-hmm. There's another movie that has a foppish fat man. Yeah.
Where
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Oh, rest in peace, Otho.
Otho.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died pretty young.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah.
I saw something that he was in recently, and I was like, Otho.
He was in so many great things.
I was like, you're somebody else in a movie.
Yeah, his credits are really cool. I'll figure that out.
I was like, motherfucker, that was Otho.
Beetlejuice.
Motherfucker? So yeah, I think this was a lot of fun. I want people to know that and to watch it.
It was a good movie. I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I guess Shout or Scream, one of them put it out on Blu-ray.
You said there's a double feature, right? Between
There's also like a DVD. It's like one of those bargain bin Walmart DVDs that has this and whoever slew Auntie Rue on it as a double feature.
But I just want to point out one of his good lines, the elocution teacher. He's talking about the kid tap dancers, and he's like, they're kicking their fat little legs.
Oh, he talks about one of the daughter's fat mothers.
That was great.
Or at least fat to him.
The actor Glenn Shaddix, who played Otho in Beetlejuice, or Shaddix, he was the voice of the mayor in The Nightmare Before Christmas. He was Father Ripper in Heathers. And then he was in a ton of stuff that like he kept popping up and stuff from like the 80s and 90s that Amy and I have just happened to been revisiting. Damn. He was on the Golden Girls.
I'm trying to remember what it was I just watched that he was in as a movie.
Yeah, was it a Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon TV movie where he played Chet?
Sleepwalkers.
He was on Roseanne.
It wasn't Sleepwalkers.
Yeah, it did. In Sleepwalkers, I think he get killed.
Demolition Man.
Yeah, he was in Demolition Man, which Amy just saw for the first time.
I don't remember him being in that.
I don't remember.
Dave's World. Remember that?
Dave's World.
Dave's World was great. And Dinosaurs, not the Mama.
Oh, my God. Hey, young children listening. Do you guys know what Dinosaurs or Dave's World is?
What the fuck is this show? Tattooed, teenaged, alien fighters from Beverly Hills.
A ripoff on TMNT. You remember, there were a bunch of things like that that came out because like people I think thought that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was such a funny title,
so they just gave it a big long title.
There was like a thing with that where it was like a ripoff I think in Mad Magazine about like squirrels. It was like hormonal, like I forget what it was, but it was like another thing like that. I've seen a few things like that here and there.
So Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills is low budget kid show with four alien fighters recruited by Nimbar.
You know,
the four Gordon, Lori, Drew, and Swinton, who fight to save the universe from evil Emperor Gorganus. Gorganus?
Gorganus?
Is it pronounced Gorganus?
No, I just think I think you're right. It's Gorganus, but I think it's funny. Like it's gorged anus.
Oh, that anus. The anus is gorged.
It is engorged.
Engorged anus.
We should start like a boy band and it's engorged, but it's just the big letter N. And then gorged.
I love it.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome, Amy?
Yeah.
The three, me, Andy, and Kelly. And then we'll find a bad boy. We'll go out and find a bad boy. Someone who's juvie.
Amy can be the bad boy. Amy's be the first. Boy.
You want to be the first female bad boy?
Yeah.
You could grow a little stubble.
I actually could a little bit, you know. I got a few chin hairs. Yeah. I'll just let him go.
Yeah. You love the movie Bad Boys too.
Engorge. Ah, Bad Boys for Life.
Honey.
That's your catchphrase.
For your 16th birthday, and because you got such good grades, I get you tickets to see Engorged at the Tampax Arena.
Yeah.
Mm.
And our stick is that we tap dance in tiny little skirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of
no, we all have boners. All the time.
Well, that's with the outfits.
Yeah.
Then we have like these big boners.
Yeah, and gorged hard. Yes.
As creepy as the Mae West child number was, the Animal Crackers was equally creepy to me because that girl's skirt was just so short.
And the setup. It was
very Shirley Temple.
Yeah, I know, but still.
It's the soup bowl was like the pit. It was like a strip club setup where the soup bowl were all the men.
Stop sexualizing something that wasn't meant to be.
I'm just saying, when you have a bunch of male actors, whether they be children or not, at this level.
They were girls. Everybody was a girl.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, it looked like a strip club.
Girls can go to strip clubs.
Well, then it definitely looked like a strip club then.
What's funny is I get what you're saying. Pimps
too.
I did not think of her bit as sexualized, but I did think it was creepy just because the way she was selling it, it just felt like, again, everything just felt a little crazy. Like everyone in this movie felt a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Including the little kids. So like that's why I think it was creepy for me, but I do get what you're saying too. I mean, all those little, they did have like real short little skirts.
They, the theme and the thing you can learn from this movie is that we all go a little mad sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially Shelley Winters.
Especially. Oh yeah. I want to mention, you know how one of my dreams is
mad all the time
is to throw a drink in somebody's face.
Yes.
Another dream of mine I didn't realize till now was slapping a hysterical woman.
Slapping someone in the face, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Both of those things happened on Taxi last night.
You've been watching a lot. I don't know why.
There's an episode called Louis's Revenge where Louis, Danny DeVito's character, this woman who had wronged him, he's been stewing on it for years, and that she comes back.
He's going to throw a drink in her face.
His whole thing is to throw a drink in her face, and it's all about him. Yeah, Danny DeVito is going to throw a drink in her face, and they keep.
I'm Danny DeVito.
You are.
Well, it's so great, like because when he goes to the bar and he orders something, he goes, "I want something, you know, like real sticky, something that'd be a nightmare to get out of your hair."
My dream is to throw a drink that has a lot of ice in it.
Mm. Yeah. What's great because when he meets her, he's holding the drink and she's like talking to him and he's just holding his arm out with the drink the whole time, just waiting to do it. And it made me think of you, Andy. And then he also slapped a hysterical woman.
Oh, that's my dream.
Yeah, but he had to stand, like he was way shorter than she was.
Oh, I need to watch this episode because I'd be like, that's me.
Yeah.
How great would it be to have Louis De Palma meet Frank Reynolds?
Oh my God, it'd be amazing.
That needs to happen, Rob McElhaney. Make that happen on It's Always Sunny.
I kind of like to think that Frank Reynolds is Louis and that he changed his name.
I had that thought.
Yeah.
But I also would love to see them meet and think that the other one was totally disgusting. And they're both right.
Yep.
Well, now is the time on our show.
Well, let's plug next week's main attraction.
Oh, yes.
This one was chosen by Mel.
Great choice.
Email to Mel last week.
Oh, I didn't even look at what it was. What is it?
Oh, it's Night of the Hunter.
Which I've never seen, have always wanted to see.
It's a great movie.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a classic, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a classic.
My dad loved Robert Mitchum, who stars in this as well. I've always just wanted to watch this.
Yeah, it's really good. It was one of those ones that when I worked in the video store, it just had like a really devoted following. People would revisit over and over again.
If you ever see the love hate tattoos on Knuckles, that's where this comes from.
Oh. 1955. Wow. Old.
But it's really good. Charles Laughton directed it.
Charles Laughton, Dr. Moreau himself.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
There you go.
Ooh, it's in black and white.
It is in black and white.
All right, Mel. I'm excited. I'm intrigued. So cool. We'll talk about that cool. next week, along with a review of The Lodge.
Yep, and then September's right around the corner. Lewis reached out.
He already gave us his list.
Yeah, we got our movies.
So we'll be announcing those soon.
Gotta get them.
Very excited.
Gotta catch them all, like Pokemon. Woo! Your internet just crapped the bed.
Kelly's like, bang, 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 bang.
All right, now it's time of our show where we always say hi to our Beelzebubs. Again, if you want to support the show monetarily, patreon.com/NOTLP. These are the people who spend the most money, therefore they are better than you. Not true, but kind of.
Ernie.
Hey.
Much love. Elise Combrink, who is...
I love her. She sent me some funny Star Trek memes today.
She did. Which one was it today?
Oh, we got... We got a Janeway one.
The one about the white people magazine from Chappelle's show.
Seven of Nine.
Yeah, them taking a child with them to research the Borg.
Yeah.
Anywho, it was funny.
Yeah.
Amanda!
Hey!
Jeremy and Cassie.
What up, boo-boos?
Mark Watts. I've missed you, Mark, on our meetups.
Watts up.
I hope that you're doing well. And unless you were lurking and I didn't know it. Blake.
Balake.
Bill.
How's Maine?
Hey. New York.
Bill's in Maine.
Oh, did you move?
I'm looking on his Instagram and he's posting pics from Maine.
I live in Maine now.
I don't know if you were in witness protection, but it's on your Instagram, sir.
He's in Maine now. No one trusts him because he's from a different place. Tree and Alex.
Hey, dude.
Hey, guys. I own a good one.
I own a great one.
Jeff.
Jeffel. Jeff L. Jeffel.
Brandon and Emily. We just saw you guys on Thursday. It's so much fun.
You have the bat symbol.
He does.
As your emblem.
Adam.
Bill, I don't know. I'm out of stuff.
Adam Ingram. Bill Chandler.
Bill's our dude.
What?
Bill's our dude.
He's our dude. Monica.
Hey, girl.
Hey, baby.
You got Chandler and Monica right on top of each other.
Oh, my God.
We do. How the fuck did that happen, right?
It's friends permeates all of our lives.
Blaine Turner.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi.
Kevin Corpy.
Hello, sir.
I think it was Kevin who was like, when I posted about our last Zoom meeting last week where I didn't put the link in at all. I just put up a picture. And he was like, there's no link. But for you patrons, it's always
Kevin. This is what I have to deal with all the time. It's like, Freddie, you did this wrong.
I do appreciate it, but
and he's sick of me correcting him.
It's the same link every week in case anybody had the same confusion.
But I mean,
but I really should.
He should
it
make it a
time.
Little clearer.
And Alyssa,
hey girl,
she this week's Origins episode 106. She is mentioned, and we play a little promo from her old podcast.
Big Red Podcast.
I love Alyssa.
She great.
She is great.
30 Helens agree.
Caramel.
Alyssa is great.
They do. 30 out of 31 Helens agree. Mm-hmm.
There's always that one.
Right. There's always one. It's just one. Contrary.
We'll be back in 1 week's time.
We will.
God willing.
Night of the Hunter.
Half a fortnight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'd love a quart right now. Of anything.
Oil.
Quart of oil.
All right, bye, everybody. Loves.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed.